Hey, Renter Retires, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode, joined as usual by the founder and CEO of Renter Retirement, Zach Lemaster, and the third person you see on screen or that you'll hear on the podcast with us is Ken Honda. He is the author of Happy Money, the Japanese art of making peace with your money. We're going to talk today a little bit more about mindset and strategies as opposed to just straight up buying an investment property. So Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, when people look at the title of your book, Happy Money, mm-hmm. Making Peace with Your Money. I mean, I'm always happy when I make money. I find that, you know, I can make a nice little pillow with it and sleep well with it. So what is happy money? Like, how is it different than just calling a book Making Money?
So happy money makes you smile when you receive it and also gives you joy when you spend it. A lot of, unfortunately, a lot of us are in the flow of unhappy money, which makes us feel squeezed when we get a check. And also we feel frustrated and irritated when we pay bills. It's just not how much money you have or how much money you make. It's about your attitude. I've been interviewed many millionaires and billionaires. And they're not happy with the money they have because they always want more. And in the process of wanting more, you fall into this trap of unhappiness because you're never satisfied with what you have.
So money doesn't equal happiness? Is that what you're saying, Ken?
Money could be. You know, money can definitely help us get rid of all the inconveniences. You know, instead of going hitchhiking, you can take a cab or Uber or you can fly. But if you don't have money, the options are limited. So money definitely help you ease a lot of problems. But after you cover basic survival and needs of yourself and your family, you have to really pay attention what kind of money you're bringing in, because more money than you need could potentially bring in a lot of stress and anger and resentment. So when you come home next time, just check what kind of energy you carry. You know, with the money you make, you may bring home with a frustrated energy or sometimes anger, resentment, because you felt a lot of stress in the process of making money. And you may bring that energy to your home without noticing it. And unfortunately, a lot of us do. That's why we get mad at with our kids and partners without knowing why we are so frustrated.
So it seems like in that case that the solution would be just like a non-stressful job, but there are stressful jobs out there.
Yes.
Somebody has to do them. So if you do have a job that is stressful, whether that be like physical labor or mentally stressing, how do you separate that? Because it's kind of hard to just say, don't bring stress home with you, and then not actually bring stress home with you.
You're exactly right. Because, you know, if you're doing what you don't like, it gives you a lot of stress. You know, even if it's the same toilet cleaning, my best-selling author friend started as a janitor, getting paid for something like $30 per day. But he was so preoccupied with what he did, so he fell in love with cleaning the toilets. So some people hate it. He loved it. So whenever we go on a trip, he doesn't come back from the bathroom, and I just ask him. I thought he had some health issues, and he said, sorry, the bathrooms are too dirty. You know, I couldn't help cleaning all the toilets. So, you know, without getting paid, of course, because it's a public toilet. So if you fall in love with the work you do that much, that doesn't bring in much stress. So the key is to do what you love and then receive money. Otherwise, if you just sell your soul to money, even if it brings billions, you lose peace of mind.
And just to be clear, though, on the toilet aspect, we're talking about Japanese toilets, not Western toilets. Is that accurate?
Any toilet.
The squatters. No, I think you bring up a lot of really good points, Ken. I want to share some concrete takeaways with our audience of, like, importantly, they could read your book. And I think, you know, that this is a concept we don't really talk a lot about,
right?
You know, and we could go on a lot of different tangents about even the mindset in America and capitalism and things like this. But a lot of, I think a lot of our audience and ourselves included would fall into the category of like, hey, we're real estate investors. We're looking to take control of our financial position by investing in an asset that we have to go out and learn ourselves because it's not taught through traditional like school systems or whatever.
Right.
And so we want to create like financial stability, investing in real estate, but real estate also could add potential stress and, yeah, having more money and even being financially independent does not equal happiness.
Yes.
And it is a journey of learning and evolving both personally and professionally. And so give us from your experience, maybe some key nuggets of knowledge in your book, some takeaways that someone on the path of like trying to take control of their finances and earn financial independence, invest and, you know, like earn more money, but also create a lifestyle, how they can try to do that while simultaneously not losing sight of like the why we came here to do this in the first place, which is like build a lifestyle, right? Because you could be financially independent and miserable and, you know, vice versa. So give us a few key takeaways from the book that would be beneficial for people to think about.
Yes. You know, I had the honor of sharing the same stage with Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm sure many of you have read his book. And he was talking about what could potentially come in the future. And I agree with him in certain points. When money IQ is very important, I think money EQ is equally important. Money IQ is financial knowledge, and money EQ is what I teach, emotional intelligence. So you have to have both. In order to have a solid financial base, you have to have, of course, money knowledge, and also money numbers in terms of financial independence. But at the same time, you have to have emotional intelligence. Otherwise, oh, I cannot be secure with $1 million. I need $2 million. And then you invest more, you leverage. And then if you do it too much, you lose it. You lose it all. So you have to know how big your money container is, because somebody is born with a big money container like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and others are born with a small ones. So you have to know the right size for you. So instead of just growing a business, which they did in China, so just doing too much leverage could ruin your financial independence. So my advice is go slow and then heal your money pains, because a lot of people try to get money to feel secure, but money itself doesn't bring you any security. So if you understand more about your emotional state and also your financial state, there is a correlation, but you have to be really careful. Otherwise, your need to make more, have more, could potentially dig a hole for your life.
And Zach mentioned one thing that I think is important here, and that is, you know, when we're coming up, as especially in the U.S., and being raised and taught, money isn't really something that's ever really taught. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finances in general isn't something that's really being taught. So as someone who, you know, a lot of our listeners have, you know, younger families, are looking, you know, to, you know, get their real estate business going so they can have their financial independence and their freedom, what kind of things should parents be doing to actually kind of start educating their kids about this and making sure that, you know, they're not only are they on the right path, but their children are as well?
First of all, I want all of us to teach kids money can be very fun. You know, money is for our own good. You know, money can be double-sided. You know, when you take a look at the devilish side, it'll come out. And when you take a look at the angelic side, the angels will come out. My father used to say, money is like a coin. You know, you have to make sure you look at the right side, because it pulls out the best in you and the worst in you. So I want you to start teaching about money to kids. Money is just not number. Sometimes it brings out emotions, and you have to know emotions are as much important as numbers, because I've seen so many people with financial education lose everything because of emotional mistakes. Money can be numbers, but at the same time, money can bring emotions. And then instead of just comparing with others, which would really make you feel miserable, you have to pay attention to who you are. And just if you want to compare, compare with yourself yesterday instead of just with your friends and others.
No, this is, as I listen to you, Ken, this is probably something that we don't talk about enough. And I know maybe a lot of newer investors could be listening to this going like, I don't care about this right now. Just teach me how to invest, right? But but this is an important thing to understand just in your evolution journey, because like the mindset about money and investing and about how to, you know, deal with challenges, I think is so dramatically important, because that's really kind of the big why of taking control. Like investing in general is to make smart decisions with money to earn more money. But investing is inherently risky, and you will lose money if you invest at some point. Like those things will happen. Right. Real estate comes with challenges. And so just having, and I could just think about countless experiences in my own life with like letting my emotions drive my either investing decisions, my reactions to business decisions that have caused, you know, negative outcomes and positive, but that's just, this is something that, yeah, we probably don't talk about enough, but people need to kind of maybe spend some time reading your book or whatever to think about, because this is really about, this is kind of the core of the why. But I guess just to continue on giving some concrete tidbits here to people listening, what one thing we do talk about is challenges with real estate and challenges. So what do you advise to people to how to think about losing money, you know, in an investment? How should people poise their mindset going into an investment, and how should they deal with challenges when they lose money, or they have you know, a vacancy in a property, or a maintenance expense, or a property manager they have to fire, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, it's not just real estate investment. Life comes with challenges, and it's part of the package. So I think that's something I want you to teach your kids too. But I always taught my students, like, whatever the money is lost, is not lost. So you have to pay more attention to time more, because you can get the money back, but you cannot get your time back. And one other thing about losing money is that if you lose money, just imagine that it's in God's escrow account somewhere. So when you do things right, it'll be cashed out again. So it's not lost. It's temporarily stored somewhere. So if you do the right thing in the future, it's like you have the right digits, you know, with a key, it'll be drawn, and then it'll be cashed out from other dealings. So don't get disappointed or frustrated. So I always think when I lose money, that money is taken away, because I wasn't smart enough to be able to handle the money. So God said, okay, I'll just keep it for temporarily. When your time comes, I'll just cash it out. So when your mental attitude is like that, you feel easier about money. And then when you do the right thing, the money will follow. And that is, you have to do what you love. And if real estate investment is something you fall in love with, go with it. But if you feel like, oh, I should invest in real estate, you know, you cannot go through all the process, because unless you love somebody, you cannot. And I'm sure not only real estate, but other businesses, it's the same thing. It comes with a lot of negativity too. And then unless you have enough love, and I think the same thing goes with your partner. If you love your husband or wife enough, you can go through. But if you don't love him or love her as much, you feel like, oh, no, that's too much. So, and I think you should fall in love with what you do.
Do you think there's some law of attractiveness with the way that you think about investing in money that attracts money?
Yes. But you have to be careful with other things. I published I have in my Japanese book somewhere. What I'm going to publish next week, it'll be in Japanese, is What I Want You to Know About Money. And in there, I don't talk about money IQ too much, but this time I did, because money rules change every 10 years, you know, minor changes.
Could you explain that? Could you?
When Lehman Shock happened, Lehman Brothers fall apart, nobody thought it would, because the government would support it. And then the big crash happened. And if you're 35 or older, you kind of know what it went through. And if you're younger, you don't know. So that these things happen in cycle in 10 years and 30 years and 100 years. So like the big changes happen every 30 years. You know, a lot of young people don't know the bad times, especially in real estate. So the things could turn in a totally different way. So the rules it applied yesterday may not apply tomorrow. So that's what you really have to pay attention, because all the books like Selling Well are the past rules that apply to what was going on 2 years ago. You know, so that was okay, like 2021, but 2024, if you do the same thing, you are likely to lose money. So you have to learn the current money rules. And also, if the big change happens, that happens every one century, you have to really know what could be possible, because all the adults haven't experienced it. It's like a big earthquake, you know, when a last earthquake happens, you're probably grandfather was small and he's already passed away. So I think a big change could potentially happen in the next few years. So you have to kind of prepare for the big impact if it ever happens. So you have to be resourceful. If you only real estate, you could be washed away with a big tsunami. So you have to have a different type of cash flow. When my mentor was in a hard time because of the real estate crash in Japan, he had other businesses that saved his business. So doing one thing, or like doing putting all your eggs in one basket, could be risky. So you really have to have a business in a different field. So when one falls, you'll be okay with another. It's like a flying airplane. If one engine fails, still if you have one more, you can keep flying. So
yeah, diversification is key, obviously. And you can be diversified in real estate across different markets, across different asset classes, you know, in different ways. Makes me think about, you know, the different business income, about Warren Buffett talking about like owning like one of his first pieces of like land or property he bought was a farm that he's had for like 40 years or whatever. And it's just a good old farm producing income that he leases out, you know. I think about the previous point you made, Ken, about losing money. I like that analogy of God's escrow account. You know, I'm still waiting to cash in on some of mine. So, but I think that it just makes me think about all the people that are really successful that have gone through like bankruptcies and challenges, you know, like Kiyosaki, for example, filed bankruptcy, you know, and a lot of people have gone through extreme, like lost everything and then rebuilt it again. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show you like real estate or whatever, that's a widget, but it's you, the individual, your mindset, your tenacity to not give up, and your ingenuity to be able to go out and just do things creatively, or just stay the course, right? Just in how you think about money, and then create an empire. And so a lot of times we see people getting so focused on little problems that are short term. And yes, it's frustrating because our emotional intelligence is letting us drive our thinking and decision making. And you know, sometimes we deal with investors that are upset with us because, you know, it's like, whatever, there's a tenant not paying, or a builder's like dragging their feet on something. And yes, that stinks, but like, look at the big picture and think about how long-term, you know, you still can make successful relationships, businesses, business relationships, and ultimately investment decisions. So a lot of good context here. I think this is good stuff. Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree, but I want to give our listeners something like tangible to take away. So if you realize you know, if you're listening to this and you realize I do not have a good relationship with money, you know, I need to do it. Are there any kind of like top three, top four things that people can actually start implementing or, you know, really focusing on in their daily life that can help them turn around their relationship?
Yes. One of the very quick and easy technique is what I learned from Wahid Takeda, who used to be called Warren Buffett of Japan. He passed away a few years ago. He said, arigato your money. Thank your money when it comes in. And arigato your money when it goes out. So arigato in, arigato out. Thank your money in and out. You can say gracias or merci or sheshe or spasiba. Whatever the language you use is fine. I think if you do it in a foreign language, it's kind of fun. So thank the money when it comes in. Because think about it. If you're a coach or if you are a business owner or a property owner, they chose your property out of thousands of other properties because, you know, it was affordable or it looked good. Whatever the reason, they chose you to pay the money to. So you can thank your tenant. Thank you for paying it monthly, you know, without being late. So that's why you got the money. And then when you pay bills, you can thank the electricity company for installing all the energy, because without internet, without electricity, we cannot have a communication like this, or we cannot learn something from YouTube if we didn't have internet. So there are so many things to appreciate. So instead of complaining about the bills too high or the food too expensive, you can appreciate all the people involved in the process. So once you start appreciating what you have and what you pay, you start the cycle of appreciation. And this appreciation brings in more appreciation. I divided my clients into two groups. One with always appreciating their business. The other, I did so-so. So the first category, after 6 months, I got so many referrals. And then the second one, I got a few referrals. So when you appreciate your clients, when you appreciate your friends and family, the appreciation will come back. So when you appreciate real estate, you know, I'd probably thank the buildings I have for providing money. And then as if it's a person, if you treat money or buildings well enough, they will be nice to you. That's a Japanese way of thinking. But once you start having a good relationship with money, with your clients, with your buildings, you feel so content. And that brings in more money. So that is the rule of happy money. Enjoy money. Teach kids that money can be fun. If you have negative association with money, as much as you want money, you don't want money to get close to you. So just enjoy the money. So that way you want to have more. And so healing your money wounds in the past is very important. I wrote it in the book. But you have to really face your emotional scars around money. And then after healing the money wounds, you think money can be so much fun.
All right. Well, Ken, is there anything, any final words you want to, I mean, that was a really good way to sum it up, it sounds like. But actually, before, as we're wrapping it up, you mentioned you've got a new book coming out. I know we're talking about happy money now, but do you have any quick things you want to throw out about your new book coming out or anything like that?
Oh, new book will come out in May of 2024 from Hay House. It's 9 letters. It's a novel of a grandfather leaving 9 letters instead of money. So that would be a fun book to read in the next year. So it's coming, it's cooking. So, and in Japanese, I keep pumping up a book in every 2 months. So hopefully I can translate more English speaking people can benefit from I've learned from all the mentors.
Fantastic. Well, the website is kenhonda.com. That's kenhonda.com. If you have any questions you want us to answer on future podcasts, just send them over to podcasts@rentretirement.com. That's podcasts@rentretirement.com. And we want to remind you, especially as we talk today about mindset and money and having that good relationship, if you head over to rentretirement.com, we have our academy there. And we start the academy at the very basis of finding your why, figuring out, you know, why you're doing this and what you want to get out of it to make sure that you go on the path. And you can find that at renttoretirement.com. You can also schedule a time to talk with us about your why so we can help you try to build your the right path to your portfolio and your success. You can find all of that at renttoretirement.com. Ken, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for taking the time to educate yourself today, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.